Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. If you took a piece of paper and you did your own study, took an 8.5 by 11, and your Bible, drew a column right down, put two columns on that paper. You take a concordance, which is a very basic Bible study tool. I don't care if you use the computer, just make sure you use your King James Bible, or if you used a Cruden's or a Young's or whatever. But if you looked up the words thoughts, mind, and imaginations, and on one side of the paper, just notice God's thoughts, and on the other side of the paper, notice man's thoughts. You will notice, it won't take you long to understand, every time man's thoughts, mind, and imaginations are mentioned in the Bible, it's always negative. It's always wrong. It's always against God. There's not one time that man thinks a thought that is not corrected in the Bible. So God's, I think, trying to, no, that's not the study tonight, but if you did your own study to see that, how little our minds can be trusted. Yet in a day of education and the information network, the worship of knowledge and the worship of the mind, it's a false security. Verses like this, Psalm 94, just listen to me for a second. Psalm 94:11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Vanity means a zero with the ring rubbed out. Less than nothing, okay? Romans chapter 8 says this, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity or war against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." When we're saved, we must be renewed in knowledge and allow our minds to be renewed so that it can be transformed by the Word of God. That's found in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. Listen to this verse. Would you take your Bible and go to Genesis 48, first book in the Bible. Go to Genesis, but I'm going to read Psalm 94. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." What you find positive in the Bible is when I think, when I let God's Word control my mind, then I get the comfort from God's Word. But when I'm left to my own thinking and my own thoughts and mind and imaginations, it's always wrong. It's always wrong. Genesis 48. Look at verse number 8. "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now, just so you know what's going on, Joseph has been away from his father. He was sold into captivity by his brethren. And now he has been elevated to the second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. And he has been able to bring his father to Egypt and his family. And they've gone through the famine. And Joseph is a great person now. He's coming to his father and he's showing him his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob, or Israel, is getting to meet them. And so here, look at verse number 11. Well, I'm sorry, verse 10. "Now the eyes of Israel," that's a name for Jacob, "were dim for age," so he's an old man, "so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." He said, "I thought you were dead." This is another illustration of every time man thinks a thought in the Bible, it's wrong. But he said, "I thought I was never going to get to see you, and now God's let me see you and your children." He says, I have great reason to rejoice. All of these years, now listen closely. All of these years, Jacob had been mourning when he could have been hoping. All of these years, Jacob or Israel had been grieving when he could have been anticipating. Every time Joseph came to his mind, he could have been thinking, I can't wait to see my boy again. I wonder how he's doing. But instead, he mourned, my child, my child. When our life is ended and our light affliction here on this earth is finished, listen, we're going to get to heaven and we're going to find out that many of the things that we worried over and we assumed the worst over and we were negative over, as we stand before the Lord, God's going to say, now do you know that all things work together if you love me? Now do you see this? We'll see things differently. Now do you see why I said, rejoice evermore? God will ask us, I think, now do you see why I said, in everything give thanks? Now do you see why I said, pray without ceasing? Now do you see why I said, offer the sacrifice of praise to God? It wasn't as bad as you thought it was. It wasn't as far gone as you thought it was. It wasn't as hopeless as you thought it was. So there's coming a day when we're going to have a better, clearer view of things than we do now. Right now, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. We can see, but we don't got the full picture yet. It's dark. Our regrets are going to be all the time we worried and fretted and let our soul be cast down in depression when we should have been hoping in God. Don't you think what was in Jacob's mind as he sees his son? For over 20 years, I thought you were dead. Now you're alive. Wow. All the gray hairs I got, the ulcers, the nights of sleeplessness. Don't you think he's got regrets? Because of the senseless worry. I was thinking this, but I was wrong. You say, well, Jacob didn't know. I know, but neither do we. You say, well, yeah, but Jacob had bad information. I know, but we get bad information. You say, well, Jacob had been told. I know, but we've been told a lot of things. If in our minds and thoughts, we could not dwell on what we think has gone wrong, and instead, if we would dwell more on how God can make it right, if in our minds we would dwell less on the pain that we've been through instead of on how glorious it's going to be at the end of the way. Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed. And that's easy preaching and hard living. But that's supposed to be a verse we run to when we're suffering, when we're hurting, and we're frustrated. Lord, whatever I'm going through now, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. But instead, we don't go that far. We just stay in the depression and stay in the worry and the fretting. Yes, Israel was lied to, and yes, Israel received bad information, and through worry and despair, he aged, he probably was made sick, he probably at times lost his health, and he had many gray hairs on his head. But when the facts were in, he found it wasn't as bad as he thought it was. It wasn't as bad as he thought it was. If we aren't careful, I think we could take this lesson, and I think we can learn our thoughts will afflict and torment us needlessly. Needlessly. The name of the sermon tonight is The Affliction of Our Thoughts. You can literally turn your mind into a torture chamber. You go to the problem, you go to bed with a problem, you don't quit thinking about it, you let yourself dwell on it, you get up thinking about it, it's in every bite of your meal, you don't let it go, and you allow it to consume you, and you literally live in a torture chamber that's up here. Because we won't control our minds. You understand? I know, but you got to know what I'm going through. I know, but if you don't go to the Bible and let God's Word help you think straight, you can cripple yourself. I know people, They've worried for so long, they're scared of everything. Okay, I've got fears too, but I don't want it to control me. I don't want my thoughts to control me. Hey, you're in Genesis 58. Go to Genesis 50 now. Watch this. Watch this again. Genesis chapter 50. Look at verse number 14. So now Jacob passes off the scenes. Jacob dies. And a strange thing happens. Watch this. Look at Genesis 50 verse 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father. After he had buried his father, that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Okay, you just need to study that. Okay, verse 15. Ready? Verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Remember what they did unto him? They put him in a pit. And the Bible says in Psalms that the fetters that they put on him wore sores in his feet and in his hands. The Bible says he screamed all night long in the pit until the Midianites came by and they were able to pull him up. And you know what he was thinking when they were pulling him up? Oh, good, guys. Oh, you let me. And then he saw the slave caravan. And then they put him in the back of the cage with the other slaves. What are you guys doing? No! Lock the door. And as he drives off, he sees his 11 brothers. The Bible says he screamed all night long. They never forgot that. Now, 20-some-odd years later, God uses Joseph. Beautiful story in the Bible. We're not going to go into all of it, but they end up, Joseph brings them down to Egypt. Now, we're looking at somewhere probably along lines of 30 to 35 years later. Now, Jacob dies, and all 11 of them are scared to death.
Oh, no. Joseph's going to kill us.
It's proof that sin brings guilt. They were haunted for 30-plus years. They never quit hearing their brother scream. They never quit hearing their brother scream as he slowly faded into the sunset. Now Dad has died, and they heard Joseph say, I forgive you. But to them, it was just because Daddy was alive. Now Daddy isn't alive, and they think Joseph is going to get him. So look at verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, ready? So shall ye say unto Joseph. Now you got to pay attention to this. Watch this closely. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And then this second sentence in verse number 17, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Okay, let's take the first part of verse number 17. I don't know if Joseph really said this, Jacob really said this or not. Because see, he dies, and then all 11 are going, you didn't get the memo? You didn't hear Dad say it? Yeah, Dad said, you're supposed to forgive us, and don't hurt us. You didn't hear Dad say this? Well, it was awkward. Yeah. Dad didn't tell you because, but I'm just telling you, Dad said it. I don't know if he said it or not. I don't know if they're lying or not. It looks like they are. It looks pretty self-serving, doesn't it? Looks kind of iffy. We'll find out when we get to heaven. I think they're lying. And you know, the end of the verse says a lot. And Jacob wept. The picture here is this. Let's let us represent Joseph's brethren that sinned against Joseph. And let's let Joseph represent God. If Joseph was disappointed and wept because he thought he had already told his brothers, I forgive you. And he's disappointed. Then everybody, how disappointed is God when we keep questioning, God, do you forgive me for that? Are you going to get me for that? When you don't accept God's forgiveness, you don't think that breaks God's heart? All that he paid all that he went through? Joseph is a sinner, and he's disappointed that his brethren won't accept his forgiveness, and they're haunted by their crime. Christian, I could apply this to us. You gotta accept. God forgives you when you get saved. All your sins are gone. All he sees is a white sheet of paper. You have memories of it, but you have to receive God's forgiveness. And just because God's forgiven you doesn't mean that you accept and receive and live in the blessed forgiveness that God has provided for you. And if you aren't careful, I know Christians. Everybody has a certain amount of baggage. Some have more baggage than others. You know what the baggage is? Things of the past that they wish wouldn't have happened. I have things in my life that happened before I got saved. They're black spots to me. I had to let them go. I don't bring them to God all the time, Lord. I don't remind God of what I used to do. I just thank God that I'm saved. Do you understand? And I know Christians, there are Christians that don't get past that point. Yeah, we can take the Lord's Supper. Boy, praise God for the blood. Praise God, our sins are washed away, and our sins used to be crimson, now they're whiter than snow. And they'll amen you while you're preaching, but they're still haunted by the past baggage. And then they don't serve God because of the guilt. You don't have to live that way. Here, beautiful story. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. They lived in constant fear. And I think tonight, look at verse number 18. Ready? Watch this. But just what a powerful verse 20 is. But look at verse 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Now, just a second. Haven't they already done this a couple of chapters before when they first met him? Now they're doing it again. Verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And verse 20 ought to be marked in your Bible, and you can go back and look at it. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. There it is again. Every time man thinks something, it's against the Bible, against God. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. I wouldn't have willingly gone to Egypt, so God had to use your hatred to sell me into slavery and get me down here. And to this day, Joseph is still one of the greatest logistical engineers. The tunnels that he built in Egypt to put the grain in, to store it, Earth is 54 degrees, right? For 7 years, it's still one of the greatest feats. It was done by God, right? God had to use somebody. But to this day, it's in Egyptian writings. All I'm telling you is Joseph tells his brothers, God had to find a way to get me into Egypt. So he used your hatred for me to save many people alive. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Remember that verse in Psalms? The wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. God has, this is one of those stories, one of those pictures. Now, here, in all their thoughts to destroy Joseph, God wrought good. I want to end this tonight by going to Philippians chapter 2. You go to Philippians chapter 2, and this will be our end scripture tonight. While you go to Philippians chapter 2, we started with Isaiah chapter 55. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, you don't think a little differently than me. As the heavens are higher than the earth, he said, the way I think and the way you think are so totally. You could call it a universe apart if you want. It's a huge difference. Look at Philippians chapter 2. So how do we avoid the affliction of our thoughts? Ready? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What a verse. God says if you naturally do what you want to do, you'll always be selfish. But it takes a command of God for us to not be self-centered, right? To not be self-centristic or self-serving. Make sure, God says here, don't just think about yourself, think about others and what they're going through. And then to help us with that, look at verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've told you this before, but this is the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. If for you to think differently, you have to let God's Word in your mind. That means for your thoughts to not afflict you, it takes you reading your Bible tomorrow. If you'll start your day, put God's Word in your schedule tomorrow before you go to work. Before, when you get up, put God at the start of your day so He can be with you throughout the whole day. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And just so you know who He's talking about, He says, let me tell you how He thought. And then verse 6, ready? Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Wow, no reputation. Humbling himself. And in this dog-eat-dog world marketing, and it's all about image, and what, you know, how you're seen, and all this, God says, you can't think that way and be a good Christian. Be like Christ. You can't do that. Jesus was of no reputation, and he humbled himself. And then let's keep on reading here. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just love those verses. We'll close with this, but as I read that, I like meditating. One day, God's going to call Satan out of the pit, and before he casts him forever into the lake of fire. God says everything in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. That's what? All demons and damned souls. That's under the earth. Everything is going to, God is going to announce, Jesus Christ is Lord. And when he announces that, every knee will bow and every tongue will repeat in confession, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm longing to see that day in heaven. I think that's going to be wonderful, but the one I want to watch say it is Satan. God announces it, Jesus Christ is Lord. And then Satan, and then we're all, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Our knees are bowed. And then can you imagine Satan? Jesus Christ is Lord. He'll say it. And I want to scream, make him say it again. Make him say it again, right before he's eternally cast into the lake of fire. Let this mind, the Bible, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you don't want your mind turned into a torture chamber with worries and frets and fears, then let God's mind come into your mind. Fill your mind with God's thoughts. And there's a better way to live than with an ulcer. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the wonderful, wonderful